Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is Balance of Power coming from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studio in New York. I'm David Westin. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson survived a no-confidence vote of his own party yesterday by a vote of 211 to 148. And afterward, he said it was now time to unite.
We have a conclusion to something that's been dragging on for far too long, and we have the ability now to unite, deliver, and get on with the people's priorities, and that is what we're going to do.
We are joined now by an expert in British politics. He is Simon Marks, president and chief correspondent for Feature Story News. Simon, thank you so much for being with us. Really appreciate it. So is that what they're going to do, get on with the people's business?
Well, they're certainly going to try and do it, David. I mean, as Boris Johnson put it last night in another part of that television appearance, he said, we're going to try and bash on. But it really is going to be bashing on, because he is now the leader of a party that is deeply divided. This was an election, of course, of his fellow Conservative Party lawmakers in the House of Commons, and 4 in 10 of them, 41%, said they have no confidence in his leadership. Now, he can claim that this was a decisive result. He can legitimately claim victory. A majority of just 1 in favour of his leadership would have sufficed to head this threat off. However, uniting is going to be extremely difficult when you're leading a party in Parliament that has fully 41% of its members who believe that you shouldn't be there. And if you look at the historical record, I mean, Theresa May, the former Prime Minister, when she faced a no-confidence vote, 37% of the party said they had no confidence in her. She resigned 6 months later. Margaret Thatcher, all the way back in November 1990, 41%, exactly the same percentage that said they had no confidence in Boris Johnson, said they had no confidence in Margaret Thatcher. She tried to bash on, but was persuaded to stand down after just 2 days. So the stage is set now for Boris Johnson to lead an administration that essentially is wounded. The former leader of the Conservative Party, William Hague, said today in London that it's rather like driving a car on the highway and you've got 2 flat tyres, but you insist to all the passengers in the car that there's nothing to worry about and you are going to reach your destination. It's going to be very difficult for him to do that.
Yeah, I'm sure that that's right. At the same time, let me ask about the historical precedents, because we've heard a fair amount about Theresa May and even Margaret Thatcher now. But is it a different time today? As I understand, what triggered this is so-called Partygate. We like to put gate against any kind of scandal, but Partygate. And we now have, for example, here in the United States, a president of the United States, Donald Trump, who survived far worse scandals than that. He said he could shoot somebody in Fifth Avenue and no one would arrest him. He wasn't far off the mark. And I wonder whether the sort of demeanor has changed of politics, perhaps in Britain as well as here.
Well, I think that that is ultimately the big question that the United Kingdom is now facing. Really, it's going to come down to whether the guardrails that exist in British politics and in the unwritten constitution of the UK prove sufficient to deal with this moment. Boris Johnson, his supporters say, would we really get rid of a prime minister over cake? Because, of course, Partygate revolves around these parties in Downing Street and other government offices that broke lockdown regulations. Shock, horror, the Prime Minister was eating birthday cake and drinking a glass of wine after work with a group of his co-workers when he shouldn't have been. But in fact, it's about far more than that. It's about whether Boris Johnson was truthful in his account of what went on before the House of Commons Parliament.
So Simon, just to ask this as a yank here, as you can tell by my accent, I'm a yank. This is not the first time that Boris Boris Johnson has been caught out in fabrication.
Correct.
I mean, go back to when he was a correspondent in Brussels, for goodness sake.
Absolutely.
He was making things up. So it can't be a shock to the British people that he has a passing acquaintance with the truth sometimes.
No, I think that's absolutely true. He is, as Margaret Thatcher's former press secretary once said, economical with the truth. He was actually fired, I think, from that job in journalism for some of the stuff that he fabricated. But look, there's a fundamental principle at stake here, and that is it now okay to break the ministerial code that exists to govern the behaviour of the Prime Minister and other senior figures within the British government, regardless of which party they come from? Did he lie to Parliament? If indeed it's proven that he did, and it seems highly likely that he did, then tradition dictates that really he would have to go. So I think that the question that we're facing in the UK is similar to the questions that you're facing here in Washington, D.C., the extent to which politics has been changed by the triumph of a populist, popular figure, the smiling character off the TV that people see every night who does find a way of making it through various obstacles that are placed in his way? Or ultimately, does gravity come into effect? Can you continue to defy gravity, or will the guardrails at some point kick in? And that at the moment is an open question in London.
But Simon, one of the things that I think has not changed in all likelihood is a maxim here in the United States, I suspect it applies in the United Kingdom as well, which is in politics, you can't beat somebody with nobody. And well, how protected is Boris Johnson by the fact that I'm not sure who would take his job?
Well, I think that's absolutely true. If this had all occurred 4 or 5 months ago, before the Chancellor of the Exchequer, Rishi Sunak, suffered a couple of very substantial knocks to his reputation, it's perfectly possible that today you and I would be talking about the elevation of Rishi Sunak as the heir apparent to Boris Johnson and Britain's next Prime Minister. In the absence of an alternative, Conservative members of Parliament in some more substantial numbers voted confidence in Boris Johnson than might have occurred if there had been a rational alternative out there. And in many ways, what's happened in the last 24 hours is the perfect outcome for Her Majesty's opposition. Sir Keir Starmer, the leader of the Labour Party, will privately be absolutely delighted to have Boris Johnson still hanging around by a thread, deeply damaged, rather than to be facing an entirely new Conservative Party leader and Prime Minister as we head towards a general election that will take place at some point within the next 2 years and may still take place much sooner than that if Boris Johnson decides in order to get a fresh mandate, he needs to go to the country.
He could call an election to try to get a stronger mandate, you think?
Yeah, he can. I mean, he indicated on television last night that that wasn't part of his current thinking. Right. It would be a bit of a high-risk strategy for him. And there are two, what you call in the US, special elections coming up at the end of this month to fill vacant seats in the British Parliament. Yeah. I think everybody's going to be keeping an eye on those two races to see how the Conservative Party performs after this confidence vote was put to bed.
It's really great to have you with us. Thank you so much. That was very helpful. Simon Marks, President and Chief Correspondent for Feature Story News. And that does it for Balance of Power for today. I'm David Westin, and this is Bloomberg.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.